Section. This is Bob.
Hey, everybody. This is Miles.
And we have on the, actually via his Skype connection tonight, we have Frank Edward Nora of the Rampler.com, also the Overnightscape, Overnightscape Underground. Let me think, what else have we got there? In Ramble and of long ago, BluffCosm.com.
Oh, yeah, wow.
And that's where I first heard Frank was on BluffCosm. So.
Yeah, BluffCosm.com. Hello, everybody. Hello, Bob and Miles. I'm very pleased to be on your show.
I hope we didn't ruin
Thank
your
you for
evening.
Being here.
Oh, I'm sorry. We're going to stomp all over each other all night here. So. I hope we didn't ruin your evening, Frank, by calling me up here, or actually vice versa at this point. It's funny. The reason I said I got a place to start was because and I was going to go into some history with this anyway, but this is a good jumping off point, which was the when Miles and I started doing this, it's been 10 years now, and I had a speakerphone, and I put a microphone on the speakerphone, and we would basically just call each other, and he would be on his regular telephone, and I would be on the speakerphone, and we'd record it that way. So I was, you know, that was how we recorded the show each week, was via the telephone.
Yeah, I remember back then you talking about that, and it sounded very good. It sounded great for the technique that you were using.
Yeah, and it was the it was a an old Macintosh microphone. It was the one that looked like a kind of a moon with a lot of little holes in it.
Yeah. I had those.
And that's what I set on top of the speakerphone, and that's how we did the show originally. Was because I'd gotten a and I still have it actually somewhere around here. I had a thing from Radio Shack that would plug in line with a phone, and it was such a piece of shit that I got rid of it. And I said, well, hey, I got this microphone that I have left over. I'll throw it on the phone, and we'll see what happens. And that's kind of how it started. So then we got into Skype, and then evidently my connection is a piece of shit, so I can't have three people on at once. But, of course, I don't live in New Jersey. I live near St. Louis, and so it's a different part of the world. So
yeah. Well, you know, it's funny because I eventually, many years ago, I had the same problem with the phone thing. And this is before Skype. So I bought this really expensive audio connector thing. I don't know. It was like $600 or something.
Oh, my God.
And I think your thing sounded better than it. That thing still doesn't sound good. It's the JK Audio digital hybrid.
Oh, you know, I looked into getting that because I got the catalog or whatever. And I'm like, I just can't spend.
It's, it works, but the sound quality is a little bit whatever. You have to go to the next level up, get like the $12,000 one to make it actually sound good, you know.
Well, that's funny. I always thought that the microphone on the speakerphone sounded pretty good.
It did, yeah. Your thing sounded great.
And I mean, we were at the time, I think, Miles, I was in my basement usually because I just had a baby and I didn't want to wake the kid up. And then, and Miles, I don't know where, I think you were basically laying around places.
I had a very small house at the time, so it's, I was in like the bathroom, kitchen, living room area, basically. So.
Lounging around or something. So, anyway, it's
pretty much, yeah.
But essentially, those starting off points is one of the reasons I wanted to talk to you, Frank, was because it has been so long, and there's been so many iterations of things happened since then, and I kind of. Restumbled upon. I mean, we had talked via email over the years, never talked in person or over Skype, as it were. And it was just kind of neat because this Rampler thing really kind of caught my fancy. I've been listening to it. I got I got an iPod Touch for my birthday this year.
Oh, nice.
The funny thing was I've been doing the podcasting, or what do you want to call it before it was podcasting, doing the audio on the internet thing for years, but I never really listened to anything. A lot. I mean, I would listen to Overnightscape every once in a while, but it usually was at my desk at the office or here at home at the desk. I never did have an iPod or anything to travel with. And so I got one this year, and then you did the start of the Rampler, and I've been kind of hooked on it. That is my my time killer on the way home from work on my commute.
Nice. I'm just thinking about how on that show I've... I get a little more out of control than normal.
You think so?
It's weird to even think. I don't know. I get very animated on that show.
Well, I enjoy it. I just want to
get very upset.
I like it. I think it's funny, and I don't know, Miles, did you ever get to listen to anything? Because, you know, I gave
I took off on it. I became a stalker. I looked up everything I could about Frank on the internet.
Great.
Pretty much, yeah. I stalked him out as best I could. Yeah, that's true.
Well, Miles is world class, yeah. You know, so world class stalker he is.
Yeah. Yes. But it's interesting because, you know, if you want to talk about the history of everything, it's been sort of like the technology involved always has sort of driven, you know, what's possible to do. And for me, every new kind of technology that became available sort of changed the way I did my show. And that's why everything has been changing so much. And then finally now this thing on the walking around New York City recording and then releasing it immediately has changed things so much. That's why I say I sort of I feel so sort of comfortable doing that show. I'm just walking around and just observing everything, getting angry about things, singing, cursing, you know. Somehow, I don't know, just sitting at home, I never really felt like that. But when you're walking around New York City and there's sirens and crazy people coming towards you, you know, it sort of brings out a whole other dimension to your radio performance. I don't know.
Now, let's be honest here, Frank. Don't you feel a little bit on the crazy side because you're talking into this box basically as you're walking down the street? I mean, do you have any inhibitions because people could be, like, staring at you?
No, you know what's funny? In New York City, as long as you're moving, you're never really around any one person for very long. And people in New York are very much, they just sort of, if they see anything strange, they'll just keep going. They won't even notice it.
That's not the way it was with the Odd Couple at the beginning of the show, you know.
Yeah.
Remember the Odd Couple show on TV?
Yeah.
The intro? There was always people everywhere. Because, I mean, Felix was walking in a sea of people at the beginning of that show.
If I have to wait to cross a street and there's people, like, right next to me, I get a little, like, I kind of stop for a second. Because that's a little bit weird.
Yeah.
And then I notice on the subway, people are very high strung. And if you start talking into a little recorder on the subway, they start staring at you. So I try to be a little more discreet about that. Also around the various police and soldiers that are patrolling the city, I try to be a little discreet around them as well.
I imagine that hopefully you're not taking pictures while you're talking to the recorder because they probably take you down.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, taking pictures on the street or actually in the subway is 100% legal, but the police have decided that they're going to start arresting people for it. So.
Yeah.
I'm going to be a little more discreet as I'm recording, you know, not try to challenge the police or anything because I don't need to get arrested.
Now, you know, this is terrible of me to say, but I'm waiting for the Rampler where you get mugged because you got
it almost. well, you know, the other night, because the closest I think I've gotten, I was in the one on Friday. Was it 252?
I haven't listened to that one yet, so I'm not up there yet.
Yeah.
I was
in a very obscure part of Midtown. There's like no one around. There's this weird art gallery I'm looking in, and this guy comes right towards me with a hood up and sort of his hands in his pockets, really menacing looking. And I just sort of, I don't know. He passed me by. I don't know if I didn't seem like a good target, but that guy was ready to mug somebody. I'm telling you that.
Because I mean, you heard early on with iPods, you know, if you had white headphones, they mugged you and took your iPod. So. I mean, you're holding a piece of equipment that's, you know, probably looks rather intriguing. So.
Yeah, I know it could be dangerous.
Well, I
actually bought a spare. I got a used one from Canada, so hopefully I'll be able to. If something happens to that one, I'll have the spare now because those things are expensive. The one I use is been discontinued. There's a new one, but it still costs like $400 to get it new. That's how much I paid.
Yeah, well, it didn't come with like a big bottle of Viagra, did it? Because it came from Canada, so it's all.
they should have maybe threw some in.
Sorry,
but yeah, to me, it's the audio quality is so important, and that's why I know there's cheaper recorders now like that, but I don't want to mess around. I like the audio quality I get from that one, and yeah. I think it's so important. I think because if you're hearing something that doesn't sound quite as loud or as defined, it's going to be more. You know, it's fatiguing to listen to it, so I want to sort of keep that audio quality.
Oh, it's very good audio. Very. I was going to ask you, it's an Eteral, and I think you mentioned in one of them what model it was, but I can't remember off the top of my head.
It's the Eteral R09, and that one's been discontinued. There's the R09HR that's out now.
Yeah.
But the HR is a little bit bigger in its width and height, so I'm kind of just wanted to stick with the one I have, the one I know. But that one is still $400 for the HR.
Okay. What is the name of that one? I just read about it. There's another one that's got four mics, though. It's got like four mics on top of it. It's not an Eteral, though. I can't remember the name of the...
I think it's one of the Zooms, the Zoom H something.
Yeah, that's it. It's a Zoom.
That one and all of those, I need something that looks a little bit more bland. I need something that's a little bit stealth.
Yeah, I can't like
be walking around with something with big microphones on top. It's just going to attract too much attention.
Yeah. So the Eteral, and you're using just a regular condenser mic that's on the Eteral, right?
Yeah, built-in, what they call Electret condenser mics, yeah.
Yeah. That's interesting, because, I mean, it sounds so good.
It's just a very, it's amazing. They're able to, you know, in such a compact form now, some great microphones and, of course, just the digital recording straight to MP3. In fact, you know, I don't do any processing. The MP3 that I record on the recorder goes straight online. And that was sort of the technical breakthrough that changed everything.
See, now we did that the whole time. We don't edit at all. So you should have, 10 years ago, come on now, Frank. You could have just done it 10 years ago.
Well, that's the thing now, because you know that I first found you guys in March of 2001. So 8 years ago, I found you guys because I was doing a thing, as you mentioned, called the BluffCosm.com. And, in fact, you guys mentioned BluffCosm on one of your shows, I remember.
I used to listen to stuff. I thought it was funny.
I emailed you, and I asked you to mention BluffCosm, and you did. So I was so appreciative of that. So I actually have, if you go to newtimeradio.com, I still have this site, even though I'm not updating it anymore. This is before podcasting completely, I don't even know, 3.5 years before podcasting.
I liked and your I was, other name. It was called Jalapio or something like that.
Yeah, Jalapio was the name. I was Jalapio Audio, Jalapio, then finally New Time Radio.
Yeah.
But the very first thing I did, I was searching the internet for any kind of audio shows, preferably something sort of independent and comedic or interesting. And if you go to newtimeradio.com, I have a link on the top with an archive of that original page. Yeah. And I only found sort of like a handful of shows, like 20 different shows. And Static was one of the shows. And I think I'm going to read you exactly what I wrote here.
I know, you said it wasn't too bad. I like that.
Yeah. On top I wrote, I've been searching the internet. I found a bunch of sites that are kind of on the same wavelength as BluffCosm. All these sites have stuff you can listen to online. At the time I'm writing this. But be warned, much of it sucks. But there are a few cool sites, though. So then, Static Internet Radio. Here's what I wrote. Online radio show from the Midwest. First impression, not as god-awful as most of this stuff.
I loved it.
Yeah.
And I think that's what I said about it. I'm like, hey, it's on there, and it says not as god-awful. So that was a compliment, because we get a lot of nice feedback where people are like, you know, what the hell are you doing? But... you know, it's nice to have something that's not so bad. So,
yeah. So I was impressed, and I started listening, and I've listened so much over the years. That's why I sort of see. There's this phenomenon when, like, I feel like I know you. I feel like I've talked to you so many times, but I never have, just because I've been hearing your show so much.
Oh God, and, I don't know. I'm trying to remember which ones you've heard, because I mean, there's some pretty weird stuff out there. So
yeah,
I'm a little embarrassed now, to be honest with
see,
you.
See, so. That's the same thing as me. I'm like, when I think about it, people are listening to my stuff, I'm like, what did I talk about recently? Just I don't know, but you know what happened is in October of, 2004, this whole podcasting thing exploded.
Yeah.
And you guys already had a show, and I had already been doing the Overnightscape for a while. Mm-hmm. And you had an XML feed, so you were podcasting.
Right, yeah, I did. I found out about it in September and got a feed going, like, by the end of September. Yeah.
And I took your feed... and I simply, I took your feed, I simply changed it, like I edited it, and that became my feed.
Well, I went
so
to,
my feed go, was I, your feed.
I can tell you I got my feed from Leo Laporte, so.
So there you go.
There you go.
I thought, you know, I as soon as I heard about it, I think it was like the first week of October, I grabbed your feed, and I'm like, I got to start doing this. Because I already had the MP3 files, all you need is the feed. So those were crazy times, too. I don't know if you remember... The age of podcasting, which was essentially, it was just 2005. That was it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's whenever you could be still an original and not be part of a conglomerate or something and actually have a show out still. So now it's kind of gotten a glut of stuff to where there's so much stuff out there that's just not, It's not homebrew at the moment, you know what I mean? So it's kind of
that's sad. The thing. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, if you talk about the death of podcasting, really, there was always the independent podcasting, like the static radio or the stuff I've been doing. And then there was the more corporate stuff, the NPR and, you know, VH1, whatever, these different people doing stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That stuff is still doing great. It's all the big corporations doing it, but the independents kind of fell by the wayside. I don't think it'll ever really go away. I just think people had the wrong idea about it. I think people that were thinking they were going to make money at it and stuff, which...
It's not the case.
It's not the case, but it's a great hobby.
It is a good hobby. It's not... Yeah. You're not going to get rich, right, Miles? Unless you've done something I don't know about.
No. No, I haven't, no.
So can I read you an email here? Hold on one second. I want to read you an email. Do you know CB from Chicago?
Oh, we do know CB, yes.
Yes. Yeah.
If I can find, I had the email up and I lost it. Hold on a second. I'll find it. He had something to say about our doing the show together here. Frank, please go on the Static Radio Show as a guest appearance. I am a big fan of that show, and I've heard it as long as I have been with you. I would be in heaven if my two shows did a crossover episode. Take care, CB. So,
hey, that's CB.
This is his, like, he's in heaven. This is the crossover.
That's
it's great.
That's Charles Barkley, you know. No, I don't know. I always said it was Charles Barkley. It's not really.
I never knew who that was. Yeah.
I always said it was before he before we started having more emails. I said, oh, it must be Charles Barkley. So, but that's not. Unfortunately, it's CB from Chicago. Unfortunately, it's not Charles Barkley because it would be great to talk to him about his DUI. But
yeah,
CB's great though. He's fantastic. We did a little experiment not too long ago with Mogulus, which is a streaming video thing, and had a chat with CB, and it was a great fun. And I think he feels bad because we haven't done a lot more since then. But the problem is my setup just can't handle it. And I told him that, but I don't know if he believed me. So if I tell you, maybe he'll believe me. It just because we had trouble at the beginning of this getting this three-way call going. I had trouble with the Mogulus thing, and it just became so much that we, you know, couldn't. Isn't that just great timing?
Yeah.
I dropped out right when I was saying it's shit and I can't do these things. So anyway, that's just proof positive, I think. But CB's great, so I guess he's listening to you as well. That's good. Because last week I talked, I did a little build-up to say we might talk to you, but you hadn't decided yet, and that's probably where he got that from. And I said, oh, I hope Frank gets to come on. You know, I know we all have family commitments, and it gets kind of hard sometimes doing this as a hobby and then having to fit in your family stuff too. And so, you know, I don't want to pressure you to come on, but I really appreciate it. So,
no,
anyway,
believe me, I'm a big fan, and it's, you know, like I said, it's an honor to be on the show. But what you said about the family commitments and stuff, I mean, I really had pushed that. I was doing my show all weekend long and not being able to spend any time with my wife, and things not needed to get done weren't getting done. And, you know, at the same time, my show, even though it has a nice little fan base, never was not really growing to the point where it could make money or anything.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I started with this idea of recording in New York City to record stuff in sort of this time that would have been wasted otherwise.
And
in just a very sort of a happy accident, it became something where the creativity or whatever the form of it was just so great, you know. So,
and I was going to say your life there sounds like Miles, except for the whole recording all weekend. He just never gets anything done and lays around the house, doesn't see his wife.
See, well, you know, it's funny. This weekend, I actually have sort of put the Overnightscape sort of in hibernation for a while, and I'm going to be just doing the Rambler more. I'm not going to end the Overnightscape, but I figure, you know, I really need to do stuff around the house. And so I'm sitting here. I'm like, okay, now I'm going to do stuff around the house. But I've just been playing video games the whole time.
Like, there you go.
The timer. Normally I'd be recording. I'm just playing video games. So I'm like, I'm like, no, slowly I'll get out of this mode and start to do things productive. You know?
Yeah, that's what they all say. That's what they all
say. Yeah.
The on the Overnightscape, I've always was surprised because we basically have very attainable goals in 20 minutes a week. That's what, and we're already actually over our 20 minutes, but that's no big deal because we're doing, you know, this special thing. But
special episode, yeah.
Yeah, but normally we shoot for about 20 minutes a week, and I mean, that's it. And then once we've gotten on a roll here through all these years, I mean, it really isn't a big pain other than every once in a while, because we do try to record on Sunday, you know, one of us is traveling or whatever, and we can't do it. But, I mean, you do like a couple hours on the overnightscape, and sometimes you do 2 and 3 hours on Saturday and then, I guess, 2 or 3 hours on Sunday or something. And just, I'm just like, oh, my gosh, that's just a huge amount of time. Huge.
Yeah, well, see, that's another thing with the technology. When I started doing it, I started doing the overnightscape. I just had the 6th anniversary on Friday, so Friday the 27th of March, 2009. So that would not have been feasible in terms of uploading all that audio, in terms of how long it takes to upload it, and there were limits on the web hosting back then, how much you could put up. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't really until I think it was 2005 or, yeah, around then that they sort of – the web host just sort of – you know, took off all the limits, and you can sort of upload unlimited amounts of audio. And that's when I started to think about, because what it was easier for me to do a long show and release it once than, you know, I was doing 5 days a week, half-hour shows. Uh-huh. It actually was easier for me to do a three-hour show and just upload it once. It actually took less time, believe it or not.
Oh, okay.
Because the uploading part, tagging the MP3s, uploading it, filling out the WordPress stuff, doing all that stuff, that's how I got into the longer shows, and also the technology sort of allowed for it. And I found that once I got going, as long as I had a bit of an outline, I could just keep going for hours and hours. And that sort of it was sort of a very freeing thing when I switched over to that. Now with the Rambler, I'm finding that I'm doing something like some days I do 2 hours, and so it can be 5 to 10 hours a week now. And it's I don't know. It's just and a lot of times I'll be sitting at work and I'm real tired. I'm like, all right, I'm not going to do a Rambler. I don't feel like it. I don't have to do it every day. Then I walk outside and I wind up doing it because I feel like it. Yeah.
Oh no, I think
it becomes addictive.
The thing to do is when you don't feel like it, that's when you got to do it because that's going to be the most interesting stuff. I'll tell you.
It usually is. Yeah.
There is,
and especially I on Friday I got very tired out and I got real punchy, and I just started just babbling. It was I don't know if that's good, but I'm sure people love when I get drunk too and do the shows, do walking around New York drunk.
That's good.
That's another favorite.
That's probably not good for the whole mugging thing.
Probably not. And I feel like, you know, I felt like the non-drunk me was exploiting me. I felt like I was exploiting myself, getting drunk and then just recording. Because right as I was at a company party and I'm like, I should drink. I guess it was at this Mexican place and there were these, what are those things, margaritas they have?
Margaritas, yeah.
I'm like, I should drink a couple extra ones. So I get extra drunk so I can record myself drunk. You know what I mean?
I was
exploiting myself.
This sounds a lot like Miles going to strip clubs, if you ask me. He always tells me, I'm going to strip clubs because it's for the show. I don't really want to go, but it's for the show. I don't want to look at porn on the internet. It's for the show. That's what he keeps saying.
My wife's not buying that anymore, though, so yeah.
Oh, you wore that out.
I've used the... to me, a lot of stuff is for the show. And so you can sort of justify doing just about anything for the show, for the good of the show.
See, Miles abuses himself as well, but not through drinking.
I'd like to ask a question, actually, if I could.
Oh, well, speak up. You're quiet over there.
Well, I've been listening. I'm very new to all this, I'll be honest with you, so bear with me here. But I've been listening to your voice, Frank, and just the way it sounds, and this is not a put down or anything, but it almost sounds like a little bit like Alan Alda and MASH. It has that quality to it.
Why would that be a put-down? It does Scientific America.
Well, it's kind of interesting because my father sounds even more like Alan Alda, I think, right? He looks like Alan Alda, and I sound like Alan Alda.
I'm waiting for you to say something about Crabapple Cove. Every time you say something, I'm just waiting to hear like some kind of MASH reference or something. I don't know why. It's got that quality to it.
Well, I dealt with this topic on the show recently. It's like I realized that my voice is sort of a conglomerate of so many voices that I've heard. Uh-huh. You know, it's not like I made up whatever style of talking. It's just sort of like and I think it really wasn't MASH. It was the time that I picked up the most sort of vocal patterns was when I worked in the printing industry in New York City, because it had the biggest collection, the biggest like rogues gallery of people. The printing industry was sort of like the people that wanted to sort of be in the mob or mobsters but couldn't quite cut it. So everyone in the printing industry is like these whack jobs that are straight out of The Sopranos, but they're not quite criminals, you know.
Nice.
But they all talk like this. Hey, babe, where's my printing job, babe? You know, all those kind of things. And that really I worked in that industry for like 10 years, and that really impressed me. So that just goes to show you the sort of hearing different people talk in funny ways. It sort of rubs off on you over years and years.
That's what I thought you were going to sound like, because Bob's like, oh, yeah, it's New York, New Jersey, and all that. Because I have cousins up by Philly, and they all talk like weirdos, you know. And
I don't know that New Jersey, like, to me, New Jersey, there's no accent. It's just sort of normal. I don't know, but you do hear people in New York, though, with this kind of, hey, babe, why are you doing that, babe, you know.
Right, that's what I was expecting to hear when I heard you. I'm like, oh.
Oh, like that, like that kind of. But there are a lot of people that do talk like that, and it's. I guess it's like more. That's more like a Brooklyn Italian kind of thing. I don't know.
Yeah.
Because I am Italian, but I'm only half Northern Italian, so I don't really. I'm not really like Italian.
So Miles, you think he sounds more New England than New York?
Era.
Yeah.
I don't know. It just had that quality as I was listening to him. Like,
no, you know, people have said that before, and it's. I don't know. I find it to be a compliment. I think that guy has a great voice, Alan Alda.
He does?
Well, so I thought Bob would get all, like,
he's good.
You know, crappy with it, you know.
Oh, no, I love Alan Alda. I love, see, this is the thing. Miles always tries to get me riled up, you know. And then if he misses, then he's all disappointed. But I love Scientific American TV show that Alan Alda does now. It's fantastic.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I watched
he's been doing
PBS.
That for a long time, right?
Yeah, I watched it on PBS whenever the new ones come on. I like to watch the repeats, but... The new ones, when they come on, my wife's like, oh, you're watching that again? I'm like, yeah. My kids all think I'm, like, brain damaged because I like to watch documentary stuff so much. So,
come on, that's the best stuff.
Well, that's what I think, but, you know, whatever. They're like, oh, Dad's watching another documentary. Oh,
though these days all I watch is pretty much American Idol and Lost. Those are my big shows.
Oh, I know. I was going to give you shit about American Idol because I cannot stand that show.
I do talk about it. I get very involved in it.
I tolerate it when I'm listening to you on your thing. I love Lost. I love Lost. American Idol. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I did not watch the first thing of American Idol. I listened to people talk about it. Then I watched the whole Clay Aiken, Ruben Studdard fiasco. And I watched the whole damn thing, beginning to end, all the live shows, all that bullshit, right? And
yeah,
that was
your man crush.
That was what was Ruben, the teddy bear, right?
Man crush on Ruben?
Yeah. Oh gosh, I have a thing for the black guys, the fat black guys. Watch out.
He's more like Aiken.
Great, you've outed me. We're on Planet Out now. We're gonna be out there. So, but anyway, I watched the whole damn thing. My wife was like, "Oh, let's watch it." I'm like, "Okay." And then that was it. I was done with it. Just like Survivor. I watched the first Survivor, done with it.
So, you know, Survivor was the same thing for me. I watched, I think, the first one or the first two, and then I couldn't take it anymore.
Yeah, my mom still watches. She drives me crazy. She's like, oh, Survivor's on. I got to watch Survivor.
I can't. I can't watch those shows anymore, any of them. I mean, Big Brother I used to watch. But to me, American Idol is just, it's such a, to me, it's all about the awkward moments and just how sad and tragic it is for these people. Because... you're taking these, some of these kids are like 16 years old, 17 years old. You're humiliating them in front of millions of people. It really is an evil show. I think that what they're doing is essentially wrong. Mm-hmm. But it, once you know the personalities involved, it is very, very compelling. And it is just so evil because the whole thing about being a pop star or a pop singer is such a weird, unnatural thing and something that never really existed in the past. It is a weird, artificial thing and, you know, very few people have the freakish inborn talent to do it, and the fact that so many people are sort of that's their life's goal is to be this thing is compelling, and you see these people fail. That's what it's about. The music always sucks. The music is always awful, and I would never listen to any of these American Idol people after they're off the show. I hate all the music, and when these people come back, it drives me crazy. Like, actually, Ruben Studdard was on the show last week. I'm like, I don't care about these people. I don't. They always suck. They're all awful, you know. But it's just the drama and. Because ultimately, these really are people who were regular people. They got thrust into this whole thing. And then they make them sing and dance in these dance numbers, like straight out of like the Brady Bunch Hour from the 70s. You see this thing?
All
of them are singing and dancing. It's so uncomfortable.
I can't stand it. I'm just like, oh, gosh, the American
Idol. But you got to appreciate it on that other level, you know? That's what makes it so compelling.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Somehow I feel like you're going to be parent to a bunch of teenage foster children to watch them go through the awkward years or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
No, that was just a joke. I felt a little flat there, sorry.
But it's hard. It's hard to keep up with the shows. I am so behind on. I've been trying to watch Terminator and Life on Mars. I'm up and Big Love. I'm like 5-6 episodes behind on all of them.
Miles, you know? What do you watch, Miles?
BBC Hour.
Oh, bullshit. That's what I watch.
The BBC News Hour?
Yes, that's what I... He makes fun of me because I said I like to watch that.
You think you're David Byrne or something, like a pseudo-intellectual. Frank, you got the three names now. We're from the Midwest, and when I hear people with three names, I always think serial killer.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, that's... see, in my... You know, I always think about that.
It's not...
Because,
his middle name's not Wayne.
Yeah.
At least
not that we know of.
Deadwood. But I had this, you know, I had the situation where my name Frank Nora just doesn't sound good because you have an N and then a K and then another N. It's not pronounceable. You know, you cannot pronounce those three letters in a row. So you put the nice Edward in the middle there, which is that's my name Frank Edward Nora, and it kind of sounds better. Frank Nora.
Fenn.
You know, I can't say it.
It'd be better if you do like what the gangsters do, like Frank the Bump Nora or something. Or...
That could work. Well, you know, recently now, this whole... I never wanted to be called the Rampler, but it's happening more and more now where people just call me Rampler. Like, I'm the Rampler. You know what I mean? No, I'm no longer Frank Edward Nora. I'm just the Rampler. And I know as time goes on, that could happen, so whatever. But I don't want to, like, myself say, oh, yes, I'm the Rampler. That sounds a little bit...
Well,
seems a little bit wrong just to name yourself.
That's a good segue.
How did that name come about, the Rampler? Because that sounds like something Bob would do in a bathroom with the
young Well, basically, you know, I was
so
looking for a name for the show.
Miles. Go ahead.
You know, and rambling is sort of just, you know, sort of speaking incoherently and walking around, which is exactly what I was doing. But I'm like, what am I going to call it, the Rambler? That sounds so typical. But I found that Rampler is a an exist it exists. It's an actual word. Rampler is a real word, and it's just sort of an obscure variant of Rambler. So
Rampler
I thought it sounded
like
good.
Like an HBO show with Rutger Hauer.
Rampler. Yeah, the Rampler. I want you to come over here now.
That's right.
He's got a score to settle.
Yeah.
That Reuben Studdard looks mighty fine. I wonder if I could break into his entourage.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
So, yeah, so this whole thing with the Rampler kind of just, it took off. I had no control over it. It was just an experiment, and it took off like mad because, I think because of the, you know, doing it in New York City and sort of New York City is my co-host and all, you know, I really think I'm in the Matrix, you know, like I think I'm in a computerized world because every time I walk around New York City now, it's the same jackhammers, car horns, and sirens. It sounds like someone's just taking one of those production CDs with the generic sound effects of New York City and playing them. It's so weird, you know?
It is.
but anyway, this whole Andy Kaufman thing happened, and it was so weird because that's what really made the Rampler so much bigger whole Andy Kaufman situation.
It was because you got
I don't know how much
by
you know about
the,
that. But.
I watched the video, and I've read a little bit on your website and stuff and listened to the stuff that you've got on the Andy Kaufman thing. And actually went out and watched, I think that's on YouTube, it's called Andy Kaufman TV, is that right?
Yeah.
And he's got some videos out there. And he did the one on the Rampler, actually, right?
Yeah, there was like an interview.
Yeah.
There was Hold on, I got to pour some scotch here. Hold on a second. Time for some scotch, hold on. Are you allowed to drink on Static Radio?
Oh,
is that
sure,
allowed?
I don't care, whatever you want.
Okay, here we go.
Well, some things we don't really want to know about, to be honest with you. But you can
this is,
do whatever
Macallan,
you want.
Macallan 12-year-old scotch, just so you know.
Now,
so.
Are you using the marbles or whatever the hell you put in your glass, those stones?
Oh, no, I'm not using – I used them a couple times, the whiskey stones.
Whiskey
those are pretty
stones.
Cool.
Yeah.
I like those. But no, I'm just sort of having it some straight Macallan.
Some straight scotch.
Yeah, just drink it straight. It's great.
So how much does Macallan cost? How much for a bottle of Macallan? Give me an idea.
Well, see, like around Christmas, I just ask everyone, just get me whiskey. That's all I want. So
want.
I think a Macallan 12 is – I think
number
it's about –
on my list, I'd like to have whiskey and then maybe some SD cards and more whiskey. That's it. That's how it goes, huh?
I think this is about 70 for the bottle, if I'm not mistaken.
Holy moly.
But, you know, I don't sit and drink the whole bottle. You sip it. You have, you know, you have like a shot's worth, and you sip it, and you really savor it. you know, and it's just so good. You know, it's not really to sit and get drunk on, but just really to savor, and it's great stuff.
It's a flavored thing.
Well, no, it's like it's just scotch. It's scotch flavored.
Scotch,
you know, flavor. Scotch whiskey flavored. but it tastes so good. It has a real complex flavor. If you drink some like Johnny Walker, yeah. It kind of tastes similar, but without any of the complexity. It just sort of tastes very dead.
I think we have Frank the Tank here.
Yeah.
Frank the Tank.
It's so good. It touches your lips. It's so good.
So anyway, what happened was this. And this, first of all, this Andy Kaufman situation has not been resolved yet. We don't know exactly what's going on.
And that's,
but Andy Kaufman, the comedian who played Latka on Taxi, and thank you very much, that guy.
Mm-hmm.
For those people who may not know who Andy Kaufman is, supposedly died in 1984 of cancer. But everyone immediately thought that it was just a joke, you know, like
he was prone to those things.
Yeah, it was like a joke. He told people he wanted to fake his death. And here's this guy, a health nut who didn't smoke and got lung cancer.
Yeah.
So everyone thinks the guy faked his own death. So now, I guess for the past 10 years, this guy out of Indiana had been claiming to be Andy Kaufman and have a whole website, andykaufmanlives.com, about being, you know, he's like, I'm Andy Kaufman. Not early on in the website, but sort of as time went on, he started to say, hey, I am Andy Kaufman. And his name was Steve Maddox. That was his pseudonym or whatever.
Yeah, Steve Maddox. I wonder if that has to do with anything, though. I mean, is there any well, background Steve Maddox as a name? In
oh, yeah. Yeah, there was a movie called The Running Man. Mm-hmm. It had nothing to do with the Arnold Schwarzenegger Running Man.
Right.
A different movie called The Running Man about a guy who faked his own death. Mm-hmm. And the insurance investigator was named Steve Maddox, who was looking for this guy. So
I read that on the Andy Kaufman Lives site, I think, or no, it was on.
Yeah,
yeah.
So it's like, and some people think this guy doesn't exist, and some people think he does exist. And I actually have talked to him on the phone a couple times, and even during the press conference, I was talking to him on the phone. So, you know, he actually started listening to the Rambler, and he liked it. So whoever this person is, became a fan of the show, and that's how I came to host the Andy Kaufman press conference in New Brunswick, New Jersey, last November.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone was accusing me of being involved, and I totally was not. I went to the hotel, and the guy told us to go to the room, and there were these monster masks and people in monster masks. And I actually have the monster masks now. He mailed them to me. There's nothing more frightening than getting a package in the mail, opening it, and seeing a monster mask in there. It almost seems like, you know, they're trying to send you a message, you know, like, you know, the dead horse head in your bed or the mask in the mail, you know.
The monster
it's a little creepy.
That is creepy.
I'm like, what am I getting myself involved in, you know?
Somehow I think you picked them up, Frank, and said, well, where the fuck is the bottle of scotch?
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry.
Monsters or scotch,
you're supposed to put a bottle of scotch in this monster mask. If there's no scotch, it's scarier.
Yeah. So anyway, during this press conference, some of the people involved, known as Andy's Angels, these girls from all over the world, were contacting the press. You know, we had Nikki in Utah, and Susan in Texas, and Andrea in Croatia, who does turn out to be real, supposedly.
Oh, gosh, okay.
It's real. Andrea is real. We talked to her on the phone. They contacted just random people, and I suggested, hey, why not contact WFMU, which is a local radio station that's very well-known around the world. It's kind of like a college radio station, but it's totally independent, and they stream online. They have free-form music. I figured it would be, you know, a good match.
Yeah.
So they contacted WFMU. This guy Bryce, who's one of the, he's been on WFMU for years, came to the press conference, and I met him. And sort of like the next day, he was recommending me to the general manager of the station to have a show on there. So
I know. How's that going?
I've been working real hard on it. I've done like 5 different test shows. I went to their studios and I learned how to use their studios. They're located in Jersey City, New Jersey, right across the river from New York City. But I can drive there from here in, you know, like 20 minutes. And last month, on the February 20th, I actually did go on the air for the first time. I did a 3-hour show. The only problem was I was deathly ill, and I had no voice. I was talking like this. Hello, this is the Rambler, you know? But, yeah, so, I mean, I'm working towards, hopefully this summer, getting a weekly show on there. So,
now let's say I actually listened to the show that you did. And so the setup that you have at home compared to the setup at the studio, I realize there's going to be more stuff at the studio, but I mean, is it night and day, or what kind of differences do you see there?
I definitely felt that my voice sounded a lot different, perhaps a lot clearer, a lot better using their equipment. But then again, that's when you're in the studio hearing it on the headphones.
Right, yeah.
I don't know once it's made into an MP3 how different it sounds, but it was just, it's very different being in a real radio studio. And it's scary because at that place, there's no engineers or anything. So when I was there all by myself, there was like no one else in the building as far as I could tell. And I'm there like a whole radio station, and I'm like, this is the first time I'm doing it. What if I press the wrong button? I'll blow the whole place up. You know?
it'll be all right. You know.
But that's how it works. It's all volunteer. You know, they just had a huge fundraising thing. They raised like over $1 million just from contributions from the listeners. They don't have any corporate sponsorships, none of this National Endowment of the Arts or anything. It's a very unique place, so I'm very happy to start getting involved with
that
it.
That is. Everybody want to tap into that, foundations and stuff, you know, like Annenberg and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, they're not doing that. They want to stay independent. But to see, this is sort of like my philosophy. I don't know. I know, like, you guys have been doing this for 10 years now. And there was a time when I really believed that, you know, the audience would continue to increase exponentially, and I'd inevitably start to make money or have a sponsorship or something. But that just never happened. And, you know, really, like I said, it was only that year 2005 that people were all hyped up about podcasting. It was kind of downhill from there.
Yeah, let's talk about that for just a minute, because I remember hearing you on your show, and Miles probably didn't listen to this one because it's an older piece. So, but you went to the podcast expo out in California. Is that correct?
Yeah. Yeah.
Tell us about that experience. I mean, I heard a little bit on when you were walking, you talked about it a little bit, or it might have been overnight sleep. I can't remember now, in the past couple months. But I've always thought about that, and then I never did act on it because of the expense. And then I heard what you had to say, and I'm like, oh, you know what? That's probably what Miles would have said if we would have actually went out there. But give us a little bit. You'll understand when he talks about it here, Miles.
Well, you know, basically, like I said, this whole podcasting thing blew up onto the scene, like you said, September, October 2004. And everyone that missed out on blogging and on the .com craze was now saying, this is the next big thing, podcasting. And the hype started building up all through 2005. And then in, I think it was September, something like, I think it was September or maybe October 2005, the Podcast Expo, the very first one out there in Ontario, California, which is, I'd say, like an hour to the east of Los Angeles, right? So it's in that area, that sort of inland area. Not too far from like Rancho Cucamonga, that kind of place.
Okay. I don't even know where that's
at. but it's in Ontario, and there's nothing there. It's like the middle of nowhere. There's an airport and like a convention center, and freight trains are constantly going by, and that's it. You think about California, like a beach and girls in bikinis and surfers. No, it's like you're in the middle of like an industrial park, you know. But the excitement at that first podcast expo was just amazing. The keynote speech, the guy's like, all of you are on the ground floor of an amazing revolution. You are all going to be the famous people of the future. You know, like it was like that and even more. Super hype. Everyone was just out of their minds with just drunk with power. Oh, my God, we're the first podcasters. This is great. And it was very cool. It was a very cool experience. And also, you know, it was very cool because two of my listeners took me to Disneyland independently of each other. So I actually spent more time at Disneyland than at the Podcast Expo, but it was so cool to actually have listeners who sort of cared enough about me and my show to take me to Disneyland, you know. And
you went twice?
Twice?
Yes, Becky and then Jerry. Becky and Jerry took me there.
Well, was Becky really a man? Because, you know, we don't have any women.
Yes, Becky is a code name, yes.
I just want to check because I don't think we have any women.
It's really Benny. It's really Benny, yes, Benny.
All right, I just checked.
Fucking Octomom.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Because there are no women listen to us. I'll just break it to you, Frank. You're not going to pick up any women listeners on this little venture here, because no women listen to us. Not even our wives.
Really?
I'm pretty sure. Yeah. I'm pretty sure.
Do you know how many people are listening over the years? You have, like, stats or anything? Because I never have good stats. I always sort of just try to... Oh, here we go. Did we lose someone?
We just lost Miles there. Yeah, we just lost Miles. That was his wife knocked. His wife said, you're done. She's pulling. She's doing the hook thing. There he is. He's connecting again, it looks like.
Yeah.
No, I do. Miles doesn't know anything about stats, so I'll just keep talking. I do try to keep track of stats, but... it's so hard, and his computer may have crashed, so it's so hard, and I never know if they're any good or not, to be honest with you. You know, it's
me neither. I don't know.
I do. I actually have two. I have three different things that I get stats from, and none of them ever agree. So I just assume that they're all crap.
Yeah.
I got Google Analytics set up, right? And I have my hosting service does them. And then I also have another thing that I sign up for that does stats as well. These are all free or paid for with my hosting. And so, you know, that's all I have. And I look at each one of them every once in a while, and none of them seem to tell me the same thing. And so they're not, like, so widely apart that you can't get an idea. But they're not close enough together to make me feel that they have any inkling of an idea of actually what's happening. You know what I mean? They're off enough to be suspect.
Yeah. That's the thing. You really can never know. But also, you know, also like a while back, I tried to get every I did a real big push to get everyone who was listening to write in.
Oh yeah.
To say they're listening. And it was my 600 for 600 promotion for episode 600, and I wanted to get 600 people because I figured, you know, there's something like 1,000, 2,000 people listening. I said, let's just get 600, and I only wound up getting about 120, which I was pretty upset with, but other people told me that's great. These kind of things only get about a 10% turnout, so that would sort of validate 1,200 people listening, something like that.
Right,
but,
yeah, you can extrapolate that, yeah.
Yeah, but the magic number always was sort of like 10,000. That's when you can start to really do stuff. And I don't think I ever got to that. I mean, I do believe that there's probably been over 10,000 different people that have heard the show from time to time, but just not like you need like a regular listeners, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I think I'm going to get the hook here. I don't know. Somebody's hollering. Let me see what's going on.
Huh? Who else is there?
No, that's my wife telling me.
Oh, okay.
Telling me something's going on. So
we're trying to get Miles back.
Let's see if we can get Miles back on. We can wrap up here. I got to put kids to bed. It's getting late.
All right, but I just want to let you. I wanted to finish the story about the.
Sure, go ahead.
So then the next year at the Podcast Expo, nothing had really happened. Nothing had increased from the year before, so it was just really depressing. And for me personally, you know, like I felt really like I was just another nobody walking around there. And I thought, really, you know, I think I'm doing a really good show, and I do have a decent audience, but I'm just not in with these clicks and these different pod shows and Adam Curry's and all these other things.
Right.
And I really got kind of depressed, quite honestly, at this second Podcast Expo. And I wound up just going to the mall by myself for 6 hours.
Oh, nice.
That was the most fun that I had.
That's good, though. Well, that was a Miles thing. I heard that experience that
It was just miserable. And any people that just had a gimmick, like the soccer girl. Oh, she goes topless on her website. You know? All these like random people who I don't think their shows were that good, but all of them either it was like something to do with sex, or it was like oh, here's a guy who broadcasts out of his shed in the woods, or everyone had to add some type of little gimmick, you know.
Well, but I mean, listen, to be honest, the Rambler is kind of a gimmick, and it's working for you. So
it is. No, and I've said that. Finally, I have some kind of a gimmick. I guess you just have to admit you need a gimmick.
Yeah,
Miles.
Yes,
he's back.
Hello. Hey, Miles, you got any last question? We need to wrap it up here. I'm getting the high sign downstairs there. So, any last questions?
No, I'm out.
Okay,
I'm out.
You know what? I want to tell you, Frank. It's been fantastic because I think he asked actually two questions, and normally when we have a guest, he only asks one. So we've doubled. We're over 10 years. We've doubled the questions.
Yeah.
You can't. I mean, on a chart, that would just look phenomenal. Of course, you have to take into account the 10-year part, but that's Don't look
at
that.
They were thoughtful questions.
So you. When was your actual 10-year? When is the 10-year anniversary? Has it already happened?
It's already happened. Yeah.
So you have the exact. Wow, that's amazing.
We do. We counted January 1st, 1999, but it was actually Thanksgiving 1998 was when we first started recording. But we didn't. I didn't have the website totally like ready to go until after the New Year. So that's what it is. So
you guys were like one of the first. I mean, you could probably say you were like one of the first podcast style shows ever.
There was somebody else for sure. I'm sure Dave Weiner was before this.
I don't know. I mean, there were some sort of genre-specific shows, but as far as being sort of a general...
Tim Berners-Lee was recording his sleep and putting it on the internet whenever he first started it.
Oh, that's the guy that invented the internet along with Al Gore?
That's right.
Yeah, great. Great. Tim Berners-Lee, great.
Yeah. I was just teasing. But it's been... I mean, I could keep talking to you here, but like I said, I got to put kids to bed. I know Miles' kids never go to bed, so he doesn't have to worry about that. But
Screw you.
Well, I had a great time. We'll have to do it again sometime. You know, we can sort of, you know.
Yeah, next 10 years, we'll get back together again. When we're
old. 2000. Yeah. What is that, 2019? Whoa!
There'll be a whole other thing going on at that point.
Wow.
They'll be like, you're I think we'll still be back doing that? What the hell's wrong with you? That's what
we'll be back to the two cans and the string by then, you know.
Yeah, it could
Our whole economy will collapse and it'll be.
Well, no, it's been great, and we will. We'll have to get back together again and talk again. What we'll do is we'll be on the Rambler whenever you get it all hooked up with your mobile or something. So
yeah, come over to New York. We'll walk around.
But I appreciate
talk about stuff.
And I still have a bunch more questions, but like I said, I just got to get going here. And I appreciate you taking the time out. I know that it was it's tough to wrangle everything as I'm dealing with here at home. So. I appreciate it. And, Miles, you want to say anything else before we go?
Good night, Nutley.
There you go.
Good night, Iowa.
Thank you.
And Missouri. From here in New Jersey.